Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. About 3.2 million Californians registered for Tuesday's recall election are voting by absentee ballot, and election officials are growing worried that counting that number of absentee votes could drag out the results of an already unwieldy election. About 1.2 million absentees and other ballots will not be counted until well after the election, and officials said on Monday that those votes could decide a potentially close race, raising the specter of an election with no clear winner for weeks. More than 2 million absentee ballots had been returned to election officials by Monday, state officials said. And as recall candidates barnstormed the state in the final hours of the historic campaign, a poll conducted by Elway McGuire Research for Knight Ridder newspapers found that the percentage of people saying they would definitely vote to oust Gray Davis dropped from 52% Wednesday to 44% on Saturday. Security at the nation's nuclear weapons labs is so lax that the facilities have repeatedly failed drills in which mock terrorists captured radioactive material and escaped, according to an article in Vanity Fair magazine. Rich Lavernier, who spent 6 years running war games for the U.S. government, said in more than 50% of tests at the Los Alamos facility, the mock terrorists got in, captured the plutonium, got out again, and in some cases didn't fire a shot because they didn't encounter any guards. These failures occurred despite security forces at Los Alamos and other nuclear facilities knowing the dates of the drills months in advance. Senator Bob Graham of Florida, trailing his 2004 Democratic rivals in fundraising and opinion polls, dropped his presidential bid on Monday after deciding that he could not catch up. A three-term senator and former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Graham trailed in the polls and struggled to raise enough money to stay viable as a candidate. Graham said the late start of his campaign, his Senate responsibilities, the congressional investigation of the September 11th attacks, heart surgery, and the war in Iraq were factors that weighed on his bid to win the Democratic nomination. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A dog whose coat caught fire when his owner's vehicle backfired ignited a grass fire just off U.S. Highway 95 in Cul-de-Sac, Idaho. Firefighters reported the dog was unhurt, only smelling of burnt hair. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Fear not, citizens, for John Ashcroft, your ever-vigilant Attorney General, is standing on guard, and he has just taken bold action to prevent a dastardly foreign threat from penetrating our nation's borders. The threat he thwarted came not from some deadly Al-Qaeda terrorist, but, get this, from an enterprising U.S. company that gives consumers here a way to import cheaper prescription drugs from Canada. Yes, Ashcroft is putting your tax dollars to work and using the police powers of your federal government to prevent you from paying less for your prescription medicines. Is this a great administration or what? Ashcroft has issued a code red alert against RX Depot, a retail firm that has 85 stores in 26 states. You can go into these stores and order your prescriptions online direct from Canada, getting the exact same medicines at half the price you pay in the U.S. The prices are so much cheaper because Canada, like every other industrialized country except ours, does not allow monopolistic drug makers to gouge their customers. The drug companies, however, have been demanding that Bushco crack down on these storefront businesses, so Ashcroft is simply doing their bidding. Of course, the Bushites assert that they're really protecting us. Mark McClellan, the drug industry lapdog handpicked by W to head the FDA, said with a straight face that unapproved drugs entering the United States through illegal channels pose a significant threat to the safety and security of the prescription drug supply. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. These are the same drugs made and sold here, only they cost half as much. Instead of whoring for the drug profiteers, Ashcroft, McClellan, and Bush need to side with consumers. A Republican House member, Gil Gutnick, is sponsoring a bill specifically to authorize these Canadian prescriptions. To back his bill, call his office at 202-225-2472.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, and there's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way, broadcasting live from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, also available on the Internet at radiopower.org, a great group worthy of your support. IEAmericaRadio.com, the home website for this radio station, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of this along with access to our chat room, where you can find one of the most interesting live conversations going on while we're on the air on the Internet, from TomHartman.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com or ProgressiveTalkRadio.com. All points to the same place. A lot of news today. Boy, there is so much happening. Our quote by the day from Goethe, none are more enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. And we're going to get to a couple of these things in a few minutes. One, on the Federal Election Commission official website, it says that Hillary Clinton filed last Friday to run for president of the United States. We'll talk about that a little later on in the hour. Also, the Pentagon apparently in their auctions of selling surplus stuff sold equipment to make anthrax, as was used to attack Democrats. And, strange stuff, and we have a Berlusconi alert for the hour. But before we get to any of those things, we have one of America's, not just America's, one of the world's, certainly one of the English-speaking world's, premier investigative journalists, the Greg Palast, who broke the story of the theft of the election in Florida with an extraordinary BBC special that you can still find on the BBC website, and I think you can find it off gregpalast.com. And has written a marvelous book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and also is the author of another book here, Regulation in Democracy, which includes an analysis of power markets. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Glad to be with you again.
I am so pleased to have you on. You have dug up some new information about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and today's the day, and we're actually on the air live on terrestrial radio stations in California, and hopefully some of our listeners will find some of what you have to say of value. What have you discovered, and how did it come about?
Well, it's adding a piece to a puzzle. Got a couple more internal Enron documents indicating confirming, first of all, that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a secret meeting with Ken Lay of Enron on May 17th, 2001 in a Beverly Hills hotel room, joined by the convicted stock swindler Mike Milken and a couple other questionable characters, and to discuss what they called their solutions to the California power crisis. At that moment, Schwarzenegger, you have to understand, is meeting with the guy who is gouging the California consumers, charging 10 and 20 times the normal price for electricity. We now know, of course, slam dunk evidence that it was part of a massive con and conspiracy by a half dozen major power companies headed by Ken Lay. So he's meeting with the guy who's ripping people off at that moment. Even more important, what I have now is not only confirmation of his attendance at that meeting, I want to give some credit to the San Francisco Chronicle, which discovered that the key discussion at the meeting was how to undercut state and federal investigations. What they didn't know, the Chronicle, is that what they're really concerned about is that 1 month before the secret meeting, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante of California filed a class action suit. He was acting as a citizen. Now, remember, Cruz is not only Lieutenant Governor, but he is the number one contender against Schwarzenegger for if the recall succeeds. In other words, you can vote no on the recall, but then still vote for a candidate if the recall succeeds. Cruz is the number one contender. What has not been discussed is that he is the guy who's brought the suit to return the $9 billion that Enron and friends stole from the California consumers. Now, here's where it gets interesting. So why would Ken Lay bring in Schwarzenegger to after he's been sued by the state of California? Now, by the way, anyone...
2 years ago.
Yeah. Now,
two years ago.
By the way, they didn't know, and I want to be very careful, they didn't know which of these... we're going to try to grab the governor's seat. In fact, they also had in the room Reardon, the mayor of L.A., whom they thought might be, was even more likely than Schwarzenegger to go up against.
Now, Greg, if I could interrupt you just for a second. Greg, was this before or after Darrell Issa began his recall gig?
That I don't know. Keep in mind that these guys are very good at hedging their bets. That's why they wanted Reardon in there. They wanted the Terminator in there. They don't know which way it's going to move. What was important to Enron and the guys ripping off the state is that they have someone that would undercut Cruz Bustamante and his suit and undercut Davis, who had gone to the federal government asking for the return of the $9 billion in overcharges. Now, understand the state's short $8 billion. This is $9 billion. The entire problem faced by the state of California financially is the ripoff caused by the power companies. And here Schwarzenegger is meeting with the guy. It's like, you know, it's like the chief of police, the guy who wants to be chief of police, meeting with, you know, Carmine Gambino. You know,
yeah, exactly.
He's got a lot to explain here, buddy. In secret, he won't talk about it. People are saying, well, he won't talk about grabbing women's behind. I want to know about Ken Lay grabbing his behind.
Now, this is, you know, the immediate question that comes to mind. I know you sent an email out about this. You wrote a piece about this a few days ago, and we talked about it a little bit on the radio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And has any of the media in California outside of, you know, the quote, liberal websites picked this up?
Well, they never pick up any of my material. I mean, I have the great irony. In fact, I had a discussion with the Los Angeles Times about it. The Los Angeles Times... and I want to thank them, did a very glowing profile of Greg Palast, one of the world's great, what they call one of the world's great investigative reporters, and how very nice it was that they did so. I said, well, if my stuff is so terrific that I deserve a two-page profile, why don't you run some of it?
So
we're beginning to have some discussion. But you have to understand, my material, which is very, very mainstream, as you put it, mainstream press, in Europe. That is the number one television station in the world, BBC, the number one paper, which is The Guardian, planet-wide. And, but in the U.S., it's very hard to get this information through. Basically, it's all distraction information. You know, the president said today he was in his helicopter, and they like zipper stories like, you know, and I don't want to belittle the seriousness of Arnold grabbing people. I wouldn't want him to grab me or anyone I know. You know, they like the zipper stories is where they tend to put their focus.
Sure.
And things like power companies ripping off the public is just not very interesting or sexy. And in fact, what stuns me is beyond the issue of Arnold meeting with Ken Lay, is that there's been zero coverage of Cruz Bustamante's lawsuit, that is the lieutenant governor's lawsuit against these companies, which is under a unique California law called Unfair Business Practices Act, which every state should have. If you've got corporations which are ripping off the public, you can sue. And it's going to win. This case will go to trial, unless, of course, the governor wins. If Arnold is sitting in that seat, the suit is right. basically dead, because it's very difficult for a judge to go ahead with a lawsuit.
Right. They'll settle it out of court for pennies on the dollar.
You know, if the governor of the state isn't supporting it. So, and the governor of the state is not only not supporting it, he's meeting with the defendants in the case. It's just wild. I mean, how can you sue? How can the state sue and the governor has secret meetings?
Greg Pallast, we're speaking with Greg Pallast, www.gregpallast.com, his website, the author of The Best of Democracy Money Can Buy, and many other extraordinary works. Greg, I know you can only stay with us a few minutes. We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. Two quick questions that come to mind as a consequence of this. Number one, one of the front page stories on the Wall Street Journal yesterday was about all these Enron documents that have been made public on the Internet by court order, including, you know, people having inter-office affairs and flirting with each other and stuff. And I'm wondering if number one, some of these documents, if this might be the source of some of these documents, and which is kind of a the curiosity thing. But the larger question in my mind is, given this situation, why didn't Cruz Bustamante talk about this in the debates? Why isn't Gray Davis running ads about this? I mean, you know, the L.A. Times ignoring it is one thing. You've got political dynamite here that could be put in the hands of Bustamante and Davis. Why are they ignoring it?
Well, there's two things. Don't forget. Let me bring up two things. When I heard the National Petroleum Radio do a report on the governor's race, they had a two-minute segment about Cruz Bustamante, and all the reporter talked about was the fact that Bustamante did not want to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's sex life or his manhandling of women. So the entire NPR report was about the fact that Bustamante refused to talk about this. Notice he wanted to talk about the issues. So we don't even know what he said. As to running ads and stuff on this material, it's very difficult to do because that costs money, and Schwarzenegger's got the cashola. So I'm going to give him a benefit of doubt. One other thing, though, to keep in mind is that there weren't a lot of people that ran ahead and supported Bustamante when he filed that suit, and all it did was bring down corporate firepower on his head. And this is a problem. In other words, when Davis and Bustamante stood up to the power pirates, don't forget Bill Clinton was dead stone silent because it started under the Clinton administration. Clinton was dead silent. Al Gore was dead silent. He got no help. These two guys are out there fighting these multi-billion-dollar, massive, you know, buccaneers, corporate buccaneers, and got no help from any political quarter, Democrat or Republican. And I think that they decided, man, it just ain't worth it. And of course, Schwarzenegger, by going to meet with Lay, and then has made it clear that you can, in fact, profit by, playing footsie with the guys that are, vacuuming the pockets of the consumers.
Was Tom McClintock involved in this?
No. He's not one of the players in the operation. He obviously doesn't get it. He's
an idealist.
Troublemaker and not a serious player. See, it's the money boys. It's not the Republican ideologues who are against abortion rights and against women's rights, et cetera. They're not the corporate button-down guys are really not comfortable with them. In fact, some of Lay's close buddies are Democrats. The corporate elite tends to be social liberals. Guys like McClintock aren't allowed in the room. Schwarzenegger is one of their boys. That's clear. But you know, the way I look at it, if people in California can vote for fictional characters, that's what they're doing. People are voting for this guy on the basis of what they see on the screen. I suggest people write in Spider-Man if you really want a fictional character. There's no question about him. Spider-Man's never grabbed anyone's behind, except with his web. And that's
well done. Greg, thanks for the great job you've done breaking this story. Thanks for coming on the program and sharing it with us. I assume that at gregpalast.com people can find the information on your website.
You got it, Tom. Thanks.
Okay, great. And also, let me encourage people again to buy Greg's book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It is incredible. Greg Palast, thank you very much. This is Tom Hartman and the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
House needs painting, the kids need braces, and your car just died. Looks like you need a loan, but will you get it? It all depends on what lenders see in your credit report, which is why you should check out freecreditreport.com. Log on, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report and whether everything's accurate. Don't delay. See your credit report instantly. Make sure your credit's ready when you need it with freecreditreport.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by goodwill and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It fooled me, can't get fooled again.
And with the nation's grace, one man can destroy the human race.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. Boy, so much in the news today. Nazi schmatzi. This is our Berlusconi alert for the day. This from, I'm not sure which magazine this came out of. We clipped this out this morning, and I don't remember where it came from. According to Italian President Silvio Berlusconi, you'll recall, he's the small-time crook who became a small-time businessman, who became a large-time businessman, who bought a radio station, television network, bought up all the TV networks, owns every single television network and most of the radio networks in Italy, except for the one that's owned by the state, and now is starting to buy newspapers. According to Italian President Silvio, and then after he controlled all that media, he ran for office, he and his party, and surprise, surprise, got elected prime minister. According to Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, Benito Mussolini was not such a bad guy. In an interview with The Spectator, a conservative United Kingdom weekly, Berlusconi says, Mussolini never killed anyone. He sent people on holidays to confine them. They were banished to small islands such as Ponza and Maddalena, which are now plush resorts. Berlusconi failed to mention that Mussolini also sent people, mostly Italian Jews, on holiday to Germany. But bygones are bygones. That's the spirit at the Anti-Defamation League, which on September 23rd, figure this one out, honored Berlusconi with its Distinguished Statesman Award for his support of Israel. Abraham Foxman, the group's national director, said he's a good friend. Amazing. So our Berlusconi alert for the day. A real Vermonter, by the way, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Our question this hour, have American politics been entirely captured by huge corporations? And if so, what can we do about it? And we just heard about the situation with Arnold and his cozy relationship dating back to May 17th of 2001, a week after Cruz Bustamante files a lawsuit to try and get back for the state of Vermont the $9 billion ripped off by the power companies. Power companies get together and have a meeting, and they've got in that meeting Reardon and Schwarzenegger. They're not sure which one of these guys is going to end up the governor, but they're going to have a recall because they can't tolerate $9 billion in lost profits. Are you getting it? What, you know, this is a free enterprise. Hooray! Free enterprise is a wonderful thing. Capitalism is a marvelous thing within limits. When companies are small and local, when companies are confined to the producing the products that people want to buy, whether it's electricity or toys, when companies are doing that which they are chartered to do, which is to make money producing something, God bless them. It is what made America great. But when companies start meeting in the Beverly Hills Hotel, with potential candidates for governor, as a recall is just ramping up, right after the lieutenant governor has filed a $9 billion lawsuit against those companies to try and get money that they stole from the people of California, and they start conspiring, or apparently conspiring, to take back, to influence the potential future governor of the state so that this lawsuit can be settled for pennies on the dollar, and they're gonna get back their $9 billion, then we have a problem. Then, folks, we have a problem. And this is just one of so many situations like this. We have so many politicians now, particularly among the Republicans, but there's no shortage of them in the Democrats, who are simply shills for corporations, and it is unhealthy for democracy. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Faced with a possible ouster in today's recall election, California Governor Gray Davis spent the last few days signing new worker-friendly legislation. A landmark bill signed Sunday by Davis will require all California businesses that employ 50 or more workers to provide their employees with health insurance. About a million uninsured workers stand to benefit.
Labor and environmental groups first came together in the streets of Seattle in 1999 when they joined forces to oppose meetings of the World Trade Organization. Today, the work of the so-called Blue Group Green Alliance continues with its sights set on a new target, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. A group called the Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment recently launched a nationwide bus tour of 24 cities that will culminate in protests in Miami this November against the expansion of the North American Free Trade Agreement. John Goodman is a steel worker who recently addressed a stop at the march to Miami in Spokane, Washington.
What we have witnessed in Mexico and other third world nations is exploitation of workers, their families, and environmental destruction by greed-driven multinational corporations.
Organizers of the caravan expect tens of thousands to fill the streets of Miami when protests against the FTAA kick off on November 19th.
Earlier this year, career employees of the federal government were up in arms over Bush administration plans to outsource some 750,000 jobs to private contractors. After congressional intervention, the White House claimed to have suspended its outsourcing initiative, but a new report from the Office of Management and Budget reveals federal agencies are still making plans to privatize jobs en masse. The OMB reports more than 103,000 federal jobs are currently under review for potential outsourcing, and another 330,000 could fall.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Back here in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, speaking to you from behind this good old working-class stainless steel microphone, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Networks. Thanks to Rama Schneider on Friday for filling in for me when I was at the Heritage Foundation. Rama, if you're listening, I appreciate your filling in, doing a great job as always. It is so good to have you available and have you in the neighborhood. I was a guest on Rama's show back, I don't know, 7 years ago or so, when he was doing a talk show here in Vermont, and he's a good guy, does good radio. And thanks for Whistle Assist 666 in our chat room for today's quote for the day. None. This is by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, around 1800. None are more enslaved. None are more enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Have American politics been entirely captured by huge corporations? And what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Well, in today's obituaries, the New York Times, this is not off topic. Fred Tuttle died on Saturday, and they did a whole profile on him. Now, who would think that a 70-some-odd-year-old farmer, 84 years old, 84-year-old farmer from Tunbridge, Vermont, just a guy who runs a little family farm, it's been in his family since forever, it's the fourth generation, since 1832, the Tuttle family has been working this farm. And he dies, and the New York Times does about a sixth of a page obituary on him. Now, what merited Fred Tuttle this thing? And what does this say about politics in America? Those of you who live in Vermont and are listening know what I'm talking about. Most of you outside of here, you might have seen Fred Tuttle on the Jay Leno show when he first announced that he was going to run for the United States Senate. But it started out when he was in a movie. It was called A Man with a Plan. And it was a movie put together by he played the role of Fred Herman Tuttle. Strangely enough, that's his name. This movie was put together by, I don't have it here. Anyway, there's a filmmaker around here, and he made this movie, and it was, you know, it was one of these minor successes. And it was about a guy who decides that why be a farmer when you can make more money being a congressman, and his knees were giving out and farm work was getting hard, so, you know, he figured he'd just, you know, go to Washington. You know, it was sort of a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with a funny spin, the movie. And so, for those of us in Vermont, this was just a wonderful thing. This was just an absolutely wonderful thing. Pat Leahy is our Democratic senator and has been forever, and one of the truly good guys in the Senate. He's one of the Democrats that hasn't sold out. You could say he's got the luxury of being from Vermont, but I think it goes deeper than that. He's a man of integrity and honor. And the Republicans have always wanted to bring down Pat Leahy. I mean, it's been high on their agenda. Pat Leahy, keep in mind, was the head. See, when Jeffords bailed out of the Republican Party and the Democrats took control of the Senate, Pat Leahy ended up head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which was considering, in the week after 9/11, a couple weeks after 9/11, the Patriot Act. This thing landed on his desk. They said, "Okay, Leahy, you've got, you know, him and Tom Daschle, the Democratic leadership." The head of the Democrats, basically, these two guys had to decide, you know, whether to get this bill out of committee, whether to move it forward, all this kind of stuff. They had to read the thing. They had to think about it. They had to get their staffers involved. And guess who gets anthrax in the mail? Right after the Patriot Act arrives on their desk, so does the anthrax. And so Leahy and Daschle have to move out of their offices. Their staff are moving into temporary quarters. They don't have access to their files. They don't have access to their paperwork. In the midst of trying to figure out whether the Patriot Act is something that's dangerous or not, all these Democrats are getting anthrax in the mail. Where's the investigation on that, by the way? This is another one of those things that I fear. If there's ever a special prosecutor or an independent counsel looking into this Bush White House, some of the stuff that's going to unravel could be really ugly. And I'm not suggesting that George Bush sent the anthrax, but I am suggesting that the failure to aggressively and thoroughly investigate this thing and keep the public heat on it is a national disgrace that is serving the Republicans very well. Because it was the question in my mind, the big question in my mind, is why is it that a week before the anthrax was sent out in the mail, George Bush and everybody on the staff at the White House started taking Cipro, the antibiotic that prevents anthrax? Why was that? This is a matter of public record. Nobody's hiding the fact that they were taking Cipro. But nobody's asked the question why. Why were they taking Cipro before the anthrax showed up at Pat Leahy's desk? A week or two before. Why? So these are the kind of things, you know, this stuff ever sees the light of day. Boy, oh boy. But anyhow, Pat Leahy was going to run for the United States Senate again, as he is wont to do. And the Republicans wanted to field a candidate against him. And there was this guy, Jack McMulkin, who lived in Massachusetts, who had a summer cottage or something up here in Vermont, spent his summers up here from time to time. And so he, conveniently, the year of the election cycle, and my recollection is this was 1998, but I could be wrong. Yeah, 1990, I think it was 1998. He comes up, he's a multimillionaire, land developer, you know, your typical Republican, well-wired into the business community, says all the right things, telegenic, intelligent guy. And he comes up to Vermont and says, ta-da, I'm here and I'm going to run as the Republican against Pat Leahy. And now it's the primary season. And Fred Tuttle, at that time, 78 years old, this dairy farmer in Tunbridge, Vermont, little tiny town in Vermont, says, oh, no, you don't. Can you believe this? He says, no, you don't. We're not going to have some fat cat rich Republican from Massachusetts come into Vermont and try and buy his way into the Republican nomination and try and take on our Senator Patrick Leahy. Now, keep in mind, Tuttle was a Republican. So Fred Tuttle decides to run against this guy in the primary. He's running against him, against Jack McMulkin. Jack McMulkin spent $281,000 of his own money, $250,000, to defeat Fred Tuttle for the Republican primary. And Fred Tuttle spent a total, I remember hearing him on the radio where he said his biggest single expenditure was the $16 for the porta potties that he had to buy for the press conference at his farm for the press, because his wife didn't want them all using the bathroom in the building, in the house, because it would, you know, they'd back it up. But he budgeted $251, $1 for every town in the state. He had a 5-cent chicken lunch that he sponsored. And Fred Tuttle, and so Jack McMulkin, you've got to take this seriously, it's a real challenge. He goes on the media and he says, this guy is a shill for the Democrats. He really isn't a Republican. He's just making fun of the process. I don't appreciate being made fun of. Something to that effect. Very sarcastic. I lived here at the time and this was all in the press. And so Tuttle, you know, the TV cameras, you know, the local TV, they go out to Tuttle and they say, McMulkin says that you're just shilling for the Democrats. You're trying to screw up the Republican race here. And Tuttle pulls out his wallet and fishes around inside and pulls out his voter registration card from 1940 and says, I was registered as a voter, as a Republican, before I went off to fight in World War II and before Jack McMulkin was born. Well, I put an end to that one. And then McMulkin says, well, you know, you really don't know the issues. It challenges him to a debate. Now, it's interesting. We're up against French Canada. I'm a two-hour drive from Montreal here in Montpelier. And we've got these funny towns like Montpelier should be Montpellier and Calais, which should be Calais, and so on around the state. But they're all anglicized because after the war with the Canadians in the, what, 18, whenever it was, the last French-American War, and there was the earlier one before the Revolution, These towns all anglicized their names because they were just so upset with the French from up north, although a lot of our road signs are in French and whatnot. We do a lot of trade with Canada. So in the debate, Tuttle challenges McMalkin to pronounce a list of towns. He says, you want to represent these people? Pronounce them. And McMalkin goes, oh, yes, Calais. And everybody falls apart. And then Tuttle says, how many teats does a cow have? And this is a dairy state. And McMalkin goes, well, I think it's six, isn't it? It's four. So McMalkin ends up losing the debate, loses the campaign. And so now it's Fred Tuttle, Republican, versus Pat Leahy, Democrat. And this, the reason I'm telling you this whole story is because this is what politics really should be like in America. And it's really what politics was like at one point in America. For the 3 or 4 months running up to the November election, Fred Tuttle and Pat Leahy together did a road show around the state of Vermont. It was called Milk and Cookies with Fred and Pat, where they met in the town diner in every town that they could hit in the state of Vermont and invited the voters to come in and sit down and talk with them. I've been to Bernie Sanders fundraisers here, by the way. He charges $25, and they serve food, and they've got good, you know, they've got live rock and roll or folk music. I mean, they've live entertainment. Compare this with, you know, the George Bush's $2,000 a seat, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is real politics. Really, really connecting with the people. So Fred Tuttle died this weekend. We will miss him. And Jack McMalkin has moved to Vermont and is making a lot of noises, and you can expect that he will be running again against Pat Leahy now that the real threat to him, Fred Tuttle, has gone to his reward in that great primary in the sky. But it was a wonderful lesson for those of us who live in Vermont, and I think for many in America, this actually did get a fair amount of national press. I think it was a great lesson for a lot of people about how politics really can play out. Because there were issues that McMalkin and Leahy disagreed on. I mean, that Tuttle and Leahy disagreed on. Fred Tuttle really was a Republican, and Pat Leahy really is a Democrat. And they would sit with people in these diners having coffee, or cookies and milk as they called it, and talk about these issues. Talk about real issues and have real discussions. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had politics back in America? The simple way to do it. I mean, keep in mind here, Fred Tuttle spent less than $300 on his entire campaign. The simple way to do it is to get corporate money and big money out of politics. And we would certainly not be the first nation to do that. Democracies, democratic nations, constitutionally limited democratic republics all over the world are realizing how corrosive and corruptive are the influences of corporate money and vast personal wealth in politics. Look at all the millionaires who bought their way into the House and Senate. This is not right. Shouldn't be. And so in some nations, like in the United Kingdom, they put an absolute limit. If you want to run for the House of Commons, you can't spend more than £100,000. Period. And they require the media to cover these things, to have debates, to cover, you know, to even the marginal candidates. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is with public financing. If everybody in the United States, every year with their tax return, clicked a little box and submitted $5, we would have enough money to equal all the money that was spent in the 2000 election campaign cycle for the presidential, Senate, and congressional elections. It's not a lot of money when you spread it out among the 100 million people who work in America. Now, here's one. It's Braintrub, one of the regulars in our chat room. In fact, I see he's in there this morning. By the way, if you want to get to our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com or liberaltalkradio.com and click the links to the chat room. And he posted this actually on our message board. If you go to TomHartmann.com, you'll see a message. But we've got a regular scrolling message board there. Some 25,000 messages now have been posted. Lots of discussions on lots of topics, and you will find people all over the political spectrum. We've got a couple of diehard libertarians in there who delight in taking on the liberals and progressives, and some good discussions. People are respectful of each other. Anyhow, he posts this thing, and I actually did it. I went to the site, if you go to the Federal Election Commission site, which is www.fec.gov, the official Federal Election Commission site, and you click through the campaign finance reports and data and the views financial reports and search the report image and you get listing and you type in Hillary Rodham Clinton, you discover that according to this thing, last Friday, P00003392, Hillary Clinton filed to run for President of the United States. Is it true or did somebody just do it in her name? I don't know, but it's weird. This is Tom Hartmann. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Tom Hartmann Show.
the computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Welcome to the pill that will help you escape the matrix. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Yes, here's the number. Hillary Rodham Clinton apparently has, on last Friday, very quietly, and... go to the FEC site, www.fec.gov. This is the Federal Election Commission. And put in, look for the number P followed by four zeros, P00003392. And that is the number of her filing that was apparently done last Friday. And it says, office sought president, election year 2004, state presidential candidate, District 03, Party Dem, Democratic Party. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret in Washington, D.C. has some thoughts on the recall. Margaret, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, how are you today? You know, I'm going crazy listening to the recall, and when I think that the Republicans are stealing an election because of money, I can't believe that that's happening in the United States with ISIS starting out this thing. And CNN has been putting things all the time talking about how much money Gray Davis has spent and has been running the government properly, especially in California. But they never draw an example with what Bush is doing, because our deficit is so high and they're crying about California's deficit, and the only reason I think that it happened was because of what Enron did to them with the power grid. And am I wrong? I mean,
no, that's very well documented, Margaret. You're absolutely right. The larger chunk of it is the Enron thing, and then there's also the fact that federal dollars to the states have gone down because federal fundings have been being cut just right across the board every single year of the Bush administration, and tax revenues have gone down because we're in a recession. You know, George Bush brought us this wonderful nearly a depression recession. I mean, we're at depression level era levels of numbers of people unemployed. Literally, more people are out of work right now in the United States than were out of work in 1932-33, the depths of the Depression. And California is not the only state facing this problem. In fact, many states are in much worse shape than California. But California is a pivotal state for who's going to win the presidency in 2004, and that's what this is all about. It's a power grab, as you said. Margaret, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, telling the truth to multinational corporations don't want you to know. We'll be back after the news.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Security at the nation's nuclear weapons labs is so lax that the facilities have repeatedly failed drills in which mock terrorists captured radioactive material and escaped, according to an article in Vanity Fair magazine. Rich Lavernier, who spent 6 years running war games for the U.S. government, said in more than 50% of tests at the Los Alamos facility, the mock terrorists got in, captured the plutonium, got out again, and in some cases didn't fire a shot because they didn't encounter any guards. These failures occurred despite security forces at Los Alamos and other nuclear facilities knowing the dates of the drills months in advance. About 3.2 million Californians registered for Tuesday's recall election are voting by absentee ballot, and election officials are growing worried that counting that number of absentee votes could drag out the results of an already unwieldy election. About 1.2 million absentees and other ballots will not be counted until well after the election, and officials said on Monday that those votes could decide a potentially close race, raising the specter of an election with no clear winner for weeks. More than 2 million absentee ballots had been returned to election officials by Monday, state officials said. And as recall candidates barnstormed the state in the final hours of the historic campaign, a poll conducted by Elway McGuire Research for Knight Ridder newspapers from Wednesday through Saturday found that the percentage of people saying they would definitely vote to oust Gray Davis dropped from 52% Wednesday to 44% on Saturday. For U.S. soldiers who fought in Iraq, memories of the conflict can linger, so the Army is trying to help troops cope with the aftermath by having them undergo mandatory counseling upon their return. All 16,500 soldiers from Fort Stewart's 3rd Infantry who fought in Iraq have undergone counseling to deal with their feelings about the war and their return home. The Army beefed up its post-war counseling programs after 3 soldiers from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, were accused of killing their wives after returning from fighting in Afghanistan. More IE America Radio news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A man at the wheel of a stolen tractor defied police calls to surrender before ramming and partly crushing 2 patrol cars, police in the southern German town of Montabaur said on Monday. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's DayQuil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping?
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, 'Cause we're out of dog food.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Fear not, citizens, for John Ashcroft, your ever-vigilant Attorney General, is standing on guard, and he has just taken bold action to prevent a dastardly foreign threat from penetrating our nation's borders. The threat he thwarted came not from some deadly Al-Qaeda terrorist, but, get this, from an enterprising U.S. company that gives consumers here a way to import cheaper prescription drugs from Canada. Yes, Ashcroft is putting your tax dollars to work and using the police powers of your federal government to prevent you from paying less for your prescription medicines. Is this a great administration or what? Ashcroft has issued a code red alert against RX Depot, a retail firm that has 85 stores in 26 states. You can go into these stores and order your prescriptions online direct from Canada, getting the exact same medicines at half the price you pay in the U.S. The prices are so much cheaper because Canada, like every other industrialized country except ours, does not allow monopolistic drug makers to gouge their customers. The drug companies, however, have been demanding that Bushco crack down on these storefront businesses, so Ashcroft is simply doing their bidding. Of course, the Bushites assert that they're really protecting us. Mark McClellan, the drug industry lapdog handpicked by W to head the FDA, said with a straight face that unapproved drugs entering the United States through illegal channels pose a significant threat to the safety and security of the prescription drug supply. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. These are the same drugs made and sold here, only they cost half as much. Instead of whoring for the drug profiteers, Ashcroft, McClellan, and Bush need to side with consumers. A Republican House member, Gil Guntnick, is sponsoring a bill specifically to authorize these Canadian prescriptions. To back his bill, call his office at 202-225-2472.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, beaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, across the world on the internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, with archives at whiteroadsociety.org. You can find all of that stuff from liberaltalkradio.com. Or TomHartman.com, whichever is easier for you to remember. They both point to the same place on the internet, where you will also find access to our chat room, which is a full and lively discussion going on about a whole variety of things. Our question this hour, how deep is the White House and Justice Department cover-up of Treasongate going? Where are the roots of this thing, and what's going to happen to it? Our quote for the day from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, around 1800, none are more enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. We need to wake up, not just ourselves, but our compatriots, our fellow citizens. We have a duty, an obligation to be awakening people in America to the conservative anti-democracy agenda. To the conservative agenda that would seek to turn America back to a feudal society like Europe was 400 years ago, where only the rich rule and everybody else is basically property. Wiping out the middle class, or turning what remnant of the middle class exists into people who are so afraid of losing their jobs, of losing their health coverage, of losing their pensions, of losing their future, that they will do anything. This is the the cheap labor conservative agenda is to reestablish aristocracy and plutocracy, a feudal society in the United States of America, to destroy the government of we the people, of, by, and for we the people, to destroy that and replace it with corporate rule, corporations making the decisions, corporations making things happen. And we need to wake people up to this, and maybe Joe Wilson has provided the tool to open the jar that out of which will spill some of these things, like Michael Milken and Arnold Schwarzenegger meeting with Ken Lay back on May 17th of 2001 in the Beverly Hills Hotel to discuss the energy crisis. This right after the energy blackouts and right after Cruz Bustamante has filed a lawsuit seeking to recover the $9 billion stolen from the citizens of California by Enron and their buddies. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Armin in Florida is on the line. Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
What's
on your mind?
A couple points. The first point is, the only thing Republicans love more than tax cuts for rich Democrats is?
What's that?
Slave labor.
Yeah, and we have to stop using, Armin, we have to stop using the phrase tax cuts, because there have not been tax cuts. That this whole thing that Bush did, these were not tax cuts. This was a transfer of wealth in the finest tradition of Karl Marx. It was a borrowing from your children and mine, and a handing of hugely to the top 1% of wage earners in the United States, hundreds of millions, in some cases billions of dollars, handed to the wealthiest in America, and a few drops trickling off the table, a few crumbs falling off the table, these $100, $200, $300, $400 checks to the middle class so that, to kind of keep them happy in the finest tradition of Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. But this was not a tax cut. This was a borrow and redistribute wealth. This was Marxist redistribution of wealth that George Bush did. Had nothing to do with tax cuts. Pardon the interruption, but okay. So, number one.
Well, and let me add something to what you just said, and then I'd like to make my point, if I may, please.
Sure.
According to the math that I've seen put up on the Internet, that we have to borrow this money. We don't have it. We're broke. It's a country. So when you take the compounding and, the time that money's out there compounding to pay back and everything, these people that he's given $300 to are going to have to pay for everybody else's, because you figure half the people are working. So
yeah.
The people that get $300 that's working for a living, they're going to end up paying about anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 for that $300 up front.
Yeah, depending on how it parses out. I've seen numbers as low as $2,500 and numbers as high as $22,000, depending on how many years and where inflation goes. See, an awful lot depends. Borrowing of this level right now is unheard of. This has never happened before in the United States. It has happened in Argentina. It did happen in Germany in the 1920s. It has happened in other countries where borrowing reaches these kind of levels. And what inevitably follows is hyperinflation. And so if the inflation goes up, our children are not just going to be paying back a few thousand bucks. They might be paying back hundreds of thousands of dollars for this $300 check that they got so that George Bush could make them feel good about him. Anyhow, your point. Armin?
They need to have somebody explain to them the whole story, I find that the conservatives attempt to be masters at painting half the picture, and, if a picture tells 1,000 words, half the picture only tells 500. And in 500 additional words, it can dramatically change the presence of the picture.
Oh, yeah, so, they are the masters of telling half the story. I mean, that's the whole conservative spin, and you see it on faux TV. You hear it among all these right-wing talk show hosts.
Right.
It's, you see it being poured, just dispensed to the mainstream press by all these right-wing think tanks that are funded by the wealthy corporate elite. Yeah, absolutely. So, Armin, your point here. We got two more callers to get to.
Okay, I'm sorry. I appreciate you giving me the time, though. I'd like to know, where are the headlines in all the newspapers in California today that say up the top of the paper, Schwarzenegger makes illegal secret deal with Enron?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering, too, and that was my question to Greg. To give them credit, to give the newspapers credit, it generally takes 3, 4, 5 days for reporters to double-check and triple-check and make sure it's right, and, they have their journalistic integrity. It's one of the reasons why the stories of Arnold groping came out, weeks ago, but the L.A. Times didn't feature it until a couple of days ago. It really took them that long to find the sources, confirm them, double-check them, make sure that they weren't political operatives, and I'm sure that they're doing the same thing with this. They've got to be. The problem is that the story's probably going to come out after the election. I mean, the election's happening as we speak in California. And the truth of Arnold being in bed with Ken Lay and Enron, and they're setting up this whole recall in order to derail this $9 billion lawsuit by Bustamante to try and get the money back from the power companies for the state, that truth probably won't come out for another week or so. It's just my guess. Armin, thanks for sharing that with us and for bringing up those points. I appreciate your calls as always. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tracy in Washington's on the line. Tracy, is that Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
D.C.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
I was there last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was there last Friday. It's a beautiful city.
It is indeed. Enjoy your show. And I just wanted to quickly call your attention. You probably have seen it, but to let the other listeners know, there's an excellent article on CommonDreams.com by Arlie Hochschild called Let
It's CommonDreams.org.
CommonDreams.org.
By
Arlie Hochschild.
Okay.
Hochschild. It's called Let Them Eat War, and it basically examines why blue collar men continue to support Bush, even though he's the one who's screwing them. And it's a pretty in depth piece, and it's really very interesting.
Well, I'm going to take a look for it. I've been traveling this whole last week. I did this show yesterday from the studio in Detroit, and I really haven't had a chance in about 5 days to sit down and do a good, even though I've got an article on the front page of Common Dreams right now that went up.
I've read it, yes.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really sit down and carefully read the other stuff.
I'm sure once you read it, you'll want to talk about it. It's really good, so I just wanted to call your attention to it.
Thank you, Tracy. The title of the article again is?
Let Them Eat War.
Let Them Eat War. I'll look for it.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network at 17 minutes after the hour, and we have Storm in Illinois, I believe it is. Storm, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom.
Whereabouts in Illinois are you?
Southern Illinois, near Carbondale.
Oh, great. Great.
Tom, the blocking of pharmaceutical products from Canada by Bush and Ashcroft, wouldn't that be an impediment to, under NAFTA, wouldn't that be an impediment to corporate control, free trade? Isn't that
arguably
an impediment to free trade?
Yeah, arguably, it may be. I frankly am not enough of a scholar on those, on that particular, I did write a book about this stuff, but individual cases always have their own, weirdnesses, so I'm not sure.
I do remember NAFTA, and that is an impediment to corporate control trade. The other thing is, if Bush really wants to find out who leaked the name of the CIA agent, all he needs to do is invoke the Patriots Act and send some government agents into Novak's office at midnight, break in the office, seize the computer, seize all the files, and then break into his home and seize his home computer and all his files, and they don't have to even tell him about it for several months.
Yeah, they can do the sneak and peeks that the Patriot Act authorizes and find out. You're right. This whole thing is just an absolute joke. I've got some great information about Ashcroft Rove connections and about the history of the special prosecutors that I wanted to get into in this hour and right to that topic. They're using the Patriot Act against protesters. They're using the Patriot Act against people who stand on the street with a sign that says "No War for Oil," but they won't use it against somebody who has outed an intelligence operative of the United States of America. It's outrageous.
And that brings up another topic. When these protesters are wanting to hold signs up around George Bush, I suggest they hold a sign up, "No First Amendment allowed in this area. Free speech is two blocks down and one block to the south."
Well, they don't have to hold up the sign because they've got all the police in the area under the instruction of the Secret Service saying just that. This is the true insult, assault. You talk about America being harmed. These free speech zones, they're off the wall. Storm, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquigels. Advil Liquigels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquigels. 15 minutes faster.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
"What's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis."
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Fear not, citizens, for John Ashcroft, your ever-vigilant Attorney General, is standing on guard, and he has just taken bold action to prevent a dastardly foreign threat from penetrating our nation's borders. The threat he thwarted came not from some deadly Al-Qaeda terrorist, but, get this, from an enterprising U.S. company that gives consumers here a way to import cheaper prescription drugs from Canada. Yes, Ashcroft is putting your tax dollars to work and using the police powers of your federal government to prevent you from paying less for your prescription medicines. Is this a great administration or what? Ashcroft has issued a code red alert against RX Depot, a retail firm that has 85 stores in 26 states. You can go into these stores and order your prescriptions online direct from Canada, getting the exact same medicines at half the price you pay in the U.S. The prices are so much cheaper because Canada, like every other industrialized country except ours, does not allow monopolistic drug makers to gouge their customers. The drug companies, however, have been demanding that Bush Co. crack down on these storefront businesses, so Ashcroft is simply doing their bidding. Of course, the Bushites assert that they're really protecting us. Mark McClellan, the drug industry lapdog handpicked by W to head the FDA, said with a straight face that unapproved drugs entering the United States through illegal channels pose a significant threat to the safety and security of the prescription drug supply.
This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. These are the same drugs made and sold here, only they cost half as much. Instead of whoring for the drug profiteers, Ashcroft, McClellan, and Bush need to side with consumers. A Republican House member, Gil Gutnick, is sponsoring a bill specifically to authorize these Canadian prescriptions. To back his bill, call his office at 202-225-2472.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Telling the truth, the multinational corporations don't want you to know. You're listening to the True People's Radio, the No Spoon Feeding Zone, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Pace Cop in our chat room. He says, the Patriot Act is a farce. The government sells equipment that can be used for weapons of mass destruction. They don't protect the ports. They cut back on airport security. They cut back on air marshals. And then they don't use it for someone outing a CIA agent. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Jim, is that Jim in Kalamazoo, or is that Kalamazoo Jim
that's
on the line?
Jim in Kalamazoo.
Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're in Kalamazoo, Michigan?
Yes.
A fine city. I grew up in Michigan.
It is. Two or three things here. I just heard over the last news break, a reporter is saying that Bush has said that he doubts if the leaker will ever be found because the administration is too big or the government is too big.
You're right.
And, yeah, right. And also I heard a report or I heard a fellow yesterday or day before yesterday in California, a Republican, and someone asked him, what if Arnold is elected, how is he going to solve the economic problems there? And he said that he'll probably go to the government. Well, didn't Gray Davis ask George Bush for money and was turned down?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he gets money from George, then he'll be lifted up on a pedestal and we'll have to bow down to the likes of Arnold.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder if George Bush will go to California and hug Arnold, knowing what he knows about his sexual problems, being that he's Mr. Bringing back morality to the White House now. So
I think that they have a mutual friend in Ken Lay will cause him to go back there and hug him. Absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, you know, Kenny Boy and Arnold and George, it's all the same family.
There's a big common thread here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
It definitely does. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the call. I appreciate your sharing that with us. The folks at Democracy Now!, which is a marvelous radio program that runs on community radio stations and national public radio stations your nonprofit radio stations across the country, did a really nice piece, some really good research. Most of it apparently based on an interview with James Moore, author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George Bush W. Bush Presidential. And in this interview with them, which is available on their website at democracynow.org, he says it goes all the way back to the 1980s when John Ashcroft first ran for governor and then when he ran for the United States Senate against Mel Carnahan, says Moore. Carl was so intimately involved. Not only did Rove work for Ashcroft in the 1980s, says Democracy Now!, but he was one of the main forces behind Ashcroft's controversial appointment to the job he currently holds of Attorney General. Rove lobbied intensely for his former employer's nomination after Ashcroft lost his Senate seat to a dead man, the late Mel Carnahan. Just as George W. Bush profited handsomely from the building of a stadium for his Texas Rangers baseball team, says Democracy Now!, Karl Rove cashed in from the successful campaign in St. Louis to get a stadium built also. The governor who signed that legislation? John Ashcroft. Now Attorney General Ashcroft is refusing to hand over the reins of the criminal investigation of his political ally, former employee, and longtime advisor, Karl Rove. This is a story that let's hope it doesn't go away, because this looks like a this is a real problem, folks. This is a real problem. And George Bush, what does George Bush say? Well, he says, if anyone in this administration is responsible for leaking a classified information, they will no longer be working in this administration. What? They should, they're not, no, they're not going to go to jail. They'll just get fired. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here in the No Spoon Feeding Zone.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A scientist gets a rare chance to hang out on the bottom of the sea. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Gregory Stone once had the opportunity to spend a week living on a coral reef. His home was 5 miles off the coast of Florida and 50 feet beneath the waves. He wrote about the experience for the September issue of National Geographic magazine. Stone is the Vice President for Global Marine Programs at the New England Aquarium in Boston. His home on the reef was Aquarius. It's a pressurized, high-tech tube that measures about half the length of a school bus.
For me, it's wonderful. One of my favorite places to be is under the water and living in Aquarius. It's kind of a combination of a submarine ride, a space flight, and a week in a college dorm.
Stone says 5 other people were in the habitat, so space was tight, but he says that was a minor inconvenience. The great benefit of Aquarius is that the people on board can adjust completely to underwater pressures. That lets them spend more time working on the bottom than if they were diving from the surface and had to decompress after every dive. Stone was on the vessel to study marine sanctuaries and their impact on the recovery of fish populations, but he also took time to relax.
One of the things I like to do at Aquarius is to go outside at around dusk and find a spot on the reef and settle in and stay there for hours on end watching the transition from daylight to nighttime, because the ocean is a very dynamic place. It's changing all the time. The animals have patterns that relate to currents, that relate to light, that relate to darkness, and living underwater in Aquarius is one way to really experience all that.
Aquarius is owned by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's the only underwater habitat in the world devoted to scientific study of the oceans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat. In America, can't get away with that. neck. He's the cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman telling the truth the multinationals don't want you to know. On the IE America Radio Network, on the Sirius Satellite, on RadioPower.org, across the nation, on terrestrial radio stations. Here we go. This is the Tom Hartman Show. It's 27 minutes before the hour, just in this news story. I was alerted to this, but I think it was Jim in Kalamazoo mentioned this on the air. So during the break, I checked Google News, and here it is. Filed at 12:54 p.m. this afternoon. It's about an hour ago, Eastern time, by the Associated Press. And I quote, President Bush voiced doubt today whether it will be possible to find out who leaked the identity of an undercover CIA officer as the White House faced an evening deadline for turning over any relevant information to criminal investigators. Bush says, I hope we can get this investigation done in a thorough way as quickly as possible. Oh, he hopes. Isn't that sweet? It's sort of like he hopes he can find Osama, or he hopes he can invade Iraq or Afghanistan. Yes. Such a gentle man. I don't know if we're going to find out, the senior administration official, Bush said. I don't have any idea. I'd like to. I want to know the truth. But, Bush said, this is a large administration and there's a lot of senior officials. I have no idea whether we'll find out who the leaker is. Oh. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Your thoughts on this, Dave in Cleveland.
Hey, Tom.
You're on the air.
Love the show.
Thank you, Dave.
Just two comments. Rove and Novak have a former connection that I read somewhere on the Internet. I think Rove worked for Bush Sr.'s campaign,
yes,
re-election campaign.
And fed a story to Novak that trashed, I forget who it was
now. Mosbacher, I think, or Moss.
Yeah, that's right, Robert Mosbacher.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah.
But the one thing that I found interesting, I also read a theory somewhere else on the net where they were saying, whoever this was, and I wish I could remember where it was, they said something about Rove. Everybody's focusing on the wrong person. It's not Rove. Because I guess early in the scandal, McClellan was saying he was very sure that it wasn't anybody connected to the White House. And I guess the vice president's office is not considered part of the White House.
No, the vice president is actually, his official title is president of the Senate, and he is part of the legislative branch, which is one of the reasons why he's having such a hard time invoking executive immunity to keep his energy meetings confidential, because even though the meetings happen in the White House, he, the vice president, as the president of the Senate, doesn't have the same executive privileges that the president has.
Right. Well, this, wherever I'd read this, they were pointing this out. They parsed their words very carefully by saying, we are confident that nobody in the White House has done this. So now what they're thinking, or according to what I read, people should be focusing on Scooter Libby and or Dick Cheney.
Or
because
Don Rumsfeld.
They do, because if it does go down, Cheney can always, you know, Libby can always be fired, and Cheney can always say, my heart's acting up, I need to retire.
Right, and be replaced by who knows whom. My guess, as I've said several times here, is Chuck Hagel, but I think he's the next great hope for the Republicans. But time will tell.
Right.
Time will tell. Dave, thanks for your comments.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it. You're welcome. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservative. Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, has some thoughts on all this. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. You know that the news about this the secret energy meeting with between Arnold and Ken Lay and Michael Milken, it goes back to, from what I know, from a Common Dreams piece, August 17th, by Jason Leopold. It's titled Arnold, Ken Lay, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Gray Davis, and it covers the whole meeting. in the what was it what was covered about the energy crisis, and according to that, just that was at the sort of the tail end of the I guess those they were now phony blackouts that basically they were engineered by the power companies led by Enron and Ken Lay, and Arnold was just helping to facilitate this overthrow basically of the elected California governor Gray Davis, and what happened was that on page two of Mr. Leopold's piece.
This August, Brian?
Yes, August 17th in the View section of CommonDreams.org. But okay. Ken Lay says one of the main problems in their four-page document after the meeting said that the problem was, quote-unquote, get deregulation right this time. California needs a real electricity market, not government takeovers, end quote. And this is from the guy who's in the energy companies. They engineered the price of California's electricity and energy went up from $12 per megawatt hour in 1998 to over $200 in December 2000, over $250 in January 2001's. And at times, the megawatt hour cost over $1,000 per hour. Then he's saying that this was the government regulation that caused this, not his price gouging, energy deregulation, quote unquote. And also, one thing about Karl Rove, he's also got Nazi connections like Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush's maternal great grandfather, who the Union Banking Corporation that helped finance the Nazis. Just prior to and during World War II, Karl Rove's grandfather allegedly helped run the Nazi Party and helped build the Birkenau death camp.
Now, you know, George Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush's connections to the Nazis are fairly, not just fairly well documented. I mean, it's a matter of public record. He was outed by Franklin Roosevelt on the front page of the New York Times back in the 1940s. But the stuff about Karl Rove, I tried to track that down because there was Al Martin Raw is the guy who brought this story out, and I have not been able to find any other sources beyond that. So I'm reluctant to give it credence yet.
Okay,
and
well,
this is the problem with anybody who wants to try to be a responsible journalist. Just like I'm sure the L.A. Times right now is struggling with this issue about was Arnold part of this meeting with Ken Lay back in May. It takes a couple of days to figure this stuff out.
Well, but this story by Jason Leopold goes back to August 17th. So I'm wondering. I know this news was out there before. I don't know why. Greg Palast has so much on his plate. It probably took him this much time to even get to something like this.
I'm surprised it got overlooked. Really am. I didn't notice it, and I certainly would have jumped all over it. But
of course,
you get so much busy week, and
you get so much information yourself too. I'm sure from emails from nutty persons like myself. But also, there was what I got the information about Karl Rove was in the Free Press. I got it from the link from Rob Call's op-ed news, the story by Bob Fritikas and Harvey Wasserman. Yeah, I know he's written for Common Dreams many times. The story's called Sieg Heil, the Bush-Rove Schwarzenegger Nazi Nexus and the Destabilization of California.
Right.
And it's from the October 6th edition of the Free Press Online. I just think there's so many, whether these bastards, where they're allowed to, these corporate people, these brigands and pirates running our governments, basically. This is, now California, its energy budget alone per year is $70 billion or more. And, of course, that was the root of the deficit that is, that they're engineering to try to make it look like Davis's fault, when the fact was 1996, the original energy deregulation was signed by then-Governor Republican Pete Wilson.
Right, who's now running Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign.
It's
outrageous.
It's outrageous. The fact is that to call where they can get away with calling it, blaming that they're pirating over $9 billion that Greg just outlined there from the ratepayers, the average guys, really ruining the small businessman in California, ratepayer paying electricity, that where it goes up 100 times what it was, or 20, 30 times higher than it was, that destroys small business and this so-called pro-business Republican Party. It's nonsense. Where they can call it, blame their own energy pirating on government regulation, you know, it's up is down and black is white. They can get away with.
Welcome to the wonderful world of the Republican Party, Brian.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's the same sort of tactic that Joseph Goebbels used and that Hitler used in those days.
Yes. Goebbels was brilliant at it. Brian, yeah. I got a couple other calls.
Okay.
I got to go on to this, but I just wanted to say that you mentioned emailing me all these things. There's a couple of folks who have been gotten in the habit of sending me, you know, sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day links to common dream stories and whatnot. And I get about 300 emails a day, and I just don't have time to go through them all. And so I've started just deleting them unread. And if there's something that you think is really important, I encourage you to post it to our message board, because I do read that and other people read that. And because it's just I'm just, you know, in email hell right now. So, but thank you for the call, and thanks for sharing that with us. I do appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And David in Santa Fe is on the line about the investigation of the leak. David, do you think it's going to happen?
I don't have a clue.
David, you're breaking up.
Oh, bad area, I guess. Well, move on, unless he can hear me better now.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Last night I caught a tail end of a Mike Malloy piece where he was saying that somebody at the White House was telling the Justice Department, we need another day or something like that before you
right.
ask
it,
for the
it stuff. Appears that it may have been Alberto Gonzalez, the White House counsel, the lawyer for the White House, who everybody is saying will probably be the next nominee for the Supreme Court, might be orchestrating this effort between the White House and the Justice Department to allow people within the White House time to destroy documents.
Yeah, so you knew about that already. Okay.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this was in the New York Times. You know, this is, this is not a secret.
Okay.
That was it. Yeah, this is a real issue, David, and this is. I mean, that's the cover up. I mentioned this yesterday on the air. That the bigger issue. I mean, okay, well, you've got the issue of the leak, and it's not just a leak; it's a campaign. To not only punish Joe Wilson, but also to say, I mean, keep in mind, when this thing came out, when Joe Wilson wrote his article about the yellow cake uranium, it wasn't just Joe Wilson saying, these guys are cooking the books. It wasn't just Joe Wilson saying, there's something funny going on in Washington, D.C. It went way beyond that. There were all kinds of people in the CIA coming out and talking about this and saying, you know, there's this lie and there's that lie and undercover. And as Joe Wilson said, and I believe it, I don't think this was so much revenge against him. That was a bonus. I think this was their way of saying, if you're involved in the intelligence community and you leak something that's going to hurt us, hurt our image, not hurt our nation, because this war hurt our nation. If you leak something that's going to make George Bush look bad, you are going to get punished. And if we can't get to you, we will get to your daughter or your wife or your son or your nephew. We will get to you. This is the mafia mentality. This is the mentality of the mafia. And this is very similar to what Richard Nixon was doing. John Dean came in and said there's a cancer on the presidency. Nixon said, you know, Nixon goes on TV and says, you know, we're going to have a complete investigation and all this stuff. Talks about this. And then he gets a phone call from H.R. Haldeman, and he has a little bit of a conversation about this. He thinks he's put it behind him, right? George Bush is about at the same point. George Bush today says, well, I don't know if we're going to find the leaker or not. And Nixon had just gone on national television saying, you know, this is no big deal. It's a third-level burglary. I'm not going to discuss Watergate anymore. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Here's what he said to H.R. Haldeman.
Hello.
Hi.
I hope I didn't let you down.
No, sir.
That's Nixon. That's Haldeman right there.
Now you got to set right and move on. You're right where you ought to be.
And see, Nixon had basically blamed it on Haldeman.
No, it's a tough thing.
And fired him.
You, for John, the rest, but God, I'm never going to discuss this son of a bitching Watergate thing again.
Yeah, right.
Never, never, never. But you agree?
Yes, sir. You've done it now, and you've laid out.
And you fired me.
You've laid out. You've taken your steps. You put the
interesting thing. You know, we haven't heard a The only cabinet officer that is called, and this is 50 minutes after the thing is over, is Cap Weinberger.
Oh, good old Cap Weinberger. Good buddy with Ronald Reagan, you know, Casper Weinberger, remember?
Not a strong cabinet, isn't it?
You better check and be sure, because that... They may, you know, we've had a...
No. They know who to call, you know.
The only Casper Weinberger stood behind him.
In any event, I just want you to know that Cap called, and he was all the way.
Good man.
Good. But let me say you're a...
Former Bechtel guy.
God damn it, and I love you. And I, you know, I love John.
This is Nixon saying this to Haldeman the day, an hour after he fired him on national television.
Absolutely.
You notice what I said about the violence and so forth on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some intricacies in this that only the sophisticated will understand.
I got those, and I want to get the text because there's some things to work on from there. But...
Right.
That we can build.
I thought it was good, too, to sort of end on what I deeply felt, you know, the religious note, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
God bless America. I mean, I'm sure.
So important.
You know, driven you up the wall. Didn't drive me up the wall, but I felt that way.
I know that I'm all for that.
Yep. Talk about religion. Make the people think you're a good man.
I don't know whether you can call and get any reactions and call me back. Or, you know.
So now Nixon's a little insecure. He's worried about, you know, what do people think about this?
No, I agree. I got
an odd spot to try and do.
Don't call God damn soul. The hell with it. Let me just say, getting this call from me, from you, I mean, I haven't heard from any cabinet officer except Weinberger an hour afterwards. And thank God, and no staff member.
Well, when I called, the board said they were instructed not to.
So, you know, Haldeman's trying to, you know, make it easy. Yeah, don't worry, everybody. We all still love you, Nixon. Don't worry. It's probably just an error.
All right, tell me.
I'll change it. All right. Fine, but God bless you, boy. God bless you. I love you. You know.
Okay.
Like my brother.
Like my brother. This is Tom Harmon on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get premium Napa motor oil for just 99 cents a quart and a Napa silver oil filter for just $1.99. This is the good stuff. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is probably the single most important thing you can do for your engine. So come to Napa and get premium Napa motor oil for just 99 cents a quart and a Napa silver oil filter for just $1.99.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's DayQuil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, because we're out of dog food.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good. You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween. Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood. And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
Ah! For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks and the Republican National Committee. Brain Shrub on our message board, which you can find if you link off of TomHartman.com. Real active community of folks there. Brain Shrub posted this message. He says, about this, is Hillary running for president, which I've raised earlier in the hour. Let us close this rumor right now. Braintrub says, "I called the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, to make sure that FEC.gov was a real site. They said they've been flooded with calls about this, but in order to run, Hillary needs to fill out a form called Certificate of Candidacy, COC, and she has not done this. The woman I talked to said anyone can fill out the form you see on the Internet for someone else, but the candidate must fill out the COC to make it official. Therefore, if you hear anyone say that Hillary has secretly put in the paperwork, this is false info." In fact, a story identical to this one came out in 1999. So somebody's playing dirty tricks on Hillary, and I stepped right into it. I will tell you, folks, I confess I stepped right into it. Well, I didn't come out and say that she was right. I said, you know, what's going on with this? But should have known better. Should have known better. Anyhow, the truck moves on. Here's the White House and the Justice Department say that this investigation is being handled by career professionals. But John Ashcroft has to sign off on any subpoenas. You get this? John Ashcroft, who the former employer of Karl Rove, the former business partner with Karl Rove. Here's what Scotty Boy McClellan has to say about
this. Remind you that the career Justice Department officials are the ones who are leading this investigation. These are individuals with vast experience and are in the best position to get to the bottom of this.
But they can't issue a single subpoena without.
But are we supposed to chase down? Well, let me finish. Are we supposed to chase down every anonymous report in the newspaper? We'd spend all our time doing that.
Yeah, right. This was not an anonymous report. This was Robert Novak naming a CIA agent, and no subpoena can be issued without John Ashcroft signing off on it. Talk about the foxes guarding the chicken coop. How deep is the White House and Justice Department cover-up of Treasongate going? Looks like it's pretty deep here, and it's getting deeper. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Hopefully this will bring some change in the elections next year. Thank you for joining us in these 2 hours. If you're with one of the stations that carries our third hour, stay tuned.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. About 3.2 million Californians registered for Tuesday's recall election are voting by absentee ballot, and election officials are growing worried that counting that number of absentee votes could drag out the results of an already unwieldy election. About 1.2 million absentees and other ballots will not be counted until well after the election, and officials said on Monday that those votes could decide a potentially close race, raising the specter of an election with no clear winner for weeks. More than 2 million absentee ballots had been returned to election officials by Monday, state officials said. And as recall candidates barnstormed the state in the final hours of the historic campaign, a poll conducted by Elway McGuire Research for Knight Ridder newspapers from Wednesday through Saturday found that the percentage of people saying they would definitely vote to oust Gray Davis dropped from 52% Wednesday to 44% on Saturday. Security at the nation's nuclear weapons labs is so lax that the facilities have repeatedly failed drills in which mock terrorists captured radioactive material and escaped, according to an article in Vanity Fair magazine. Rich Lavernier, who spent 6 years running war games for the U.S. government, said in more than 50% of tests at the Los Alamos facility, the mock terrorists got in, captured the plutonium, got out again, and in some cases didn't fire a shot because they didn't encounter any guards. These failures occurred despite security forces at Los Alamos and other nuclear facilities knowing the dates of the drills months in advance. Senator Bob Graham of Florida, trailing his 2004 Democratic rivals in fundraising and opinion polls, dropped his presidential bid on Monday after deciding that he could not catch up. A three-term senator and former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Graham trailed in the polls and struggled to raise enough money to stay viable as a candidate. Graham said the late start of his campaign, his Senate responsibilities, the congressional investigation of the September 11th attacks, heart surgery, and the war in Iraq were factors that weighed on his bid to win the Democratic nomination. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A dog whose coat caught fire when his owner's vehicle backfired ignited a grass fire just off U.S. Highway 95 in Cul-de-sac, Idaho. Firefighters reported the dog was unhurt, only smelling of burnt hair. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Fear not, citizens, for John Ashcroft, your ever-vigilant Attorney General, is standing on guard, and he has just taken bold action to prevent a dastardly foreign threat from penetrating our nation's borders. The threat he thwarted came not from some deadly Al-Qaeda terrorist, but, get this, from an enterprising U.S. company that gives consumers here a way to import cheaper prescription drugs from Canada. Yes, Ashcroft is putting your tax dollars to work and using the police powers of your federal government to prevent you from paying less for your prescription medicines. Is this a great administration or what? Ashcroft has issued a code red alert against RX Depot, a retail firm that has 85 stores in 26 states. You can go into these stores and order your prescriptions online direct from Canada, getting the exact same medicines at half the price you pay in the U.S. The prices are so much cheaper because Canada, like every other industrialized country except ours, does not allow monopolistic drug makers to gouge their customers. The drug companies, however, have been demanding that Bushco crack down on these storefront businesses, so Ashcroft is simply doing their bidding. Of course, the Bushites assert that they're really protecting us. Mark McClellan, the drug industry lapdog handpicked by W to head the FDA, said with a straight face that unapproved drugs entering the United States through illegal channels pose a significant threat to the safety and security of the prescription drug supply. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. These are the same drugs made and sold here, only they cost half as much. Instead of whoring for the drug profiteers, Ashcroft, McClellan, and Bush need to side with consumers. A Republican House member, Gil Gutnick, is sponsoring a bill specifically to authorize these Canadian prescriptions. To back his bill, call his office at 202-225-2472.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried. Doug.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. We're broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on stream 145 of the Sirius satellite radio system, and live all around the world on the internet at radiopower.org, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that by linking off liberaltalkradio.com or tomhartman.com. Point to the same place on the internet if you are so inclined. Our quote for the day from Goethe: none are more enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free. And awakening people who falsely believe that they are free to the truth of the situation is one of the things that our guest in over the next 20 minutes here in this hour David Korn is so good at. David Korn is one of those rare writers who is able to competently produce fiction and nonfiction. He's the author of a novel. He's the author of several nonfiction pieces. He's the Washington editor of the Nation magazine, has spent years analyzing the policies and pursuing the lies that spew out of the nation's capital, and has been credited with breaking the recent Treasongate story. He's the author of a new book, The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. I have it sitting here right in front of me. I'm holding it in my hands, and I recommend you run out to your bookstore today and buy it. This book is wonderful. It is mind-boggling. David Korn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. I am very pleased to have you on the program today.
It's an honor to be with you, Tom, today.
Thank you. David, I'd like to feed some lines here to you. We've got some audio clips of Scotty and George. The first one's Scott McClellan, about some of the lies that you document in your book. And let's just take these one at a time and give you a chance to react to them, if that's all right. We'll start out with... hang on just a second. That's here we go. We'll start out with Scotty.
You know, there have been some news reports that I saw back to that period, some that have been cited recently, talking about how some of this information may have been well known within the D.C. community.
Everybody knew Valerie Plame was a CIA agent. Truth or lie?
You know, it wasn't on my radar screen. I've been covering this story. I know Joe Wilson a little bit for the last year or so. I spoke to him about his wife beforehand, and we just talked about her generically. I've talked to lots of reporters about the story. No one that I come up with ever really heard that she was CIA. And it's kind of anyone who understands Washington would realize this is a ludicrous suggestion, because very few people in town know anybody working at the CIA unless you know them personally. You know, go out there and ask someone to name three CIA officers, three CIA officials. You just don't know. I mean, people can't go much below George Tenet. And I don't know the names of any CIA case officers working for the Director of Operations.
You would think that anybody who was widely known as a CIA officer wouldn't be a CIA officer anymore. This person's outed.
What happened was Cliff May, who a long time ago was a New York Times reporter, but now is sort of a neocon agitator who was an advocate for the war and has worked for... He worked for the RNC for a number of years and now works with some right-wing political groups, wrote an online piece saying everybody knew this. I don't know what circles he travels in, but no one I know said that. It was just really, really low blow of Scott McClellan to try to change the subject in that fashion.
Yeah, these guys are all smoking too much of the wrong stuff. Here's George W. Bush with one of the things I love about the way your book is organized is, the specific lies. You number them and list them and use them as chapter titles. Here's George W. Bush laying one out in his inimitable fashion.
If you're a single mom, say making $22,000 and you've got two kids, you're a single mom with the toughest job in America, by the way, raising those kids, and you're on the outskirts of poverty at $22,000 a year, because the way the current tax code is structured, the harder you work, the higher marginal rate you pay. The extra dollar you earn to put food on your table gets taxed at a higher marginal rate than someone making $200,000. And that's not right, and that is not fair. It's a toll booth to the middle class, and I intend to not only reduce the fees, but to try to knock the toll booth completely down.
Yeah, truth or lie here, David?
That is about as disingenuous as it gets. He is saying, let's just go through this again, that if you're a single mom waitress making about $22,000 a year, you got two kids, he's going to knock down the toll booth for you. First, he goes on about marginal rates. Now, he is telling the truth about that. As your income goes up, you pay higher taxes because you move into a higher tax bracket. You lose your earned income tax credit, which low-income Americans get. And, yes, so on each extra dollar, you start paying a little more in taxes. And if you're at the $200,000 range, well, you don't, because you've maxed out in terms of you're already paying the highest tax rate. So, yes, there is a higher marginal tax rate. But what his plan did in terms of tax cuts had nothing to do with that. And you don't have to believe me. You can believe Deloitte and Touche, one of the big eight, I don't know if it's even eight any left any longer, but one of the big accounting firms. Time magazine you know, during the campaign when Bush was saying this, went to Deloitte and Touche and said, "Listen, give us the taxes. Do the taxes for this single mom waitress making $22K a year under the George Bush plan. Tell us what she's going to get."
Yeah.
Well, they did the tax. You know what type of relief she got? Zero.
Yeah. Because, surprise, surprise.
Because she's already paying nothing in income taxes. She's paying a lot in terms of payroll taxes and excise taxes and other fees. But she's, you know, but if she's doing her taxes right, she's not paying income taxes. So he talks about knocking down the toll booth on the road to the middle class for her. It doesn't exist. It's not her problems are not her taxes. Her problems are her income level. And indeed,
right.
The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a group here that does a lot of, you know, policy calculations about taxes for poor people, they lean left, but their numbers tend to be pretty good, did the same thing and found the same results. And they said if her income got up to $25,000, give George W. the benefit of the doubt, knock it up to 25 instead of 22, well, then if she has two kids and everything's right, she might save an extra $200 or so. But, you know, hey, that's real money to her. But that doesn't knock down the toll booth to the middle class. It doesn't put her in the middle class. So this is a highly, highly disingenuous argument. You know, I would call it a lie.
Yeah, and not only does that, you know, you say, well, that $200 might mean a lot to her, but that $200, I object to the term tax cut because this is not a tax cut. This is in the classic tradition of the weirdest perversions of Karl Marx, a transfer of wealth, and it's a transfer of wealth from our children and grandchildren to the current generation, mostly the most wealthy among us.
Well,
it's like the inversion of Marxism or something. It's borrowed money. It's borrowed money that he's passing out to people.
Well, yeah, and then it's borrowed money for the occupation and everything else. I mean, he told us the first tax cut. He said we can have a tax cut, we can still have $1 trillion to use on other needs, and we will not have a deficit. Now we had a deficit. We had a deficit not after 9/11. It was in late August 2001, after the tax cuts had kicked in, that we started off with a $9 billion deficit. Not a big one, but what had been a projected surplus at the beginning of the year was now projected a deficit before 9/11. And he keeps saying now after the fact that, you know, we have deficits because of 9/11 and the war on terrorism. Now, that certainly took a big bite and added to the deficits and exasperated the deficits, as did the recession. But the recession.
But at its core, it's a lie.
But at core, it's a lie because the deficit had kicked in before all this, because in part of the recession, but in partly because of the tax cuts. And it was his administration that, you know, in March of in April of 2001, when the economy had already turned, kept insisting that the tax cuts would not exacerbate any deficit.
Right. People forget that the first big tax cut happened way before 9/11 and that Bush was responsible for. We're speaking with David Korn, the author of The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception, an extraordinary new book I highly recommend. Here's another one. This is a lie number or chapter number 8 in your book. Here's George W. Bush's comment, David, and we'll get your response.
As a result of private research, more than 60 genetically diverse stem cell lines already exist. They were created from embryos that have already been destroyed, and they have the ability to regenerate themselves indefinitely, creating ongoing opportunities for research.
Now, all is good, and the anti-abortion people are happy, right?
Yeah, you know, this is one of my favorite lies, I have to say. You know, it's like your kids. You don't want to say your favorite kids, but you
right.
know, in my book, I cover a lot of different ground. I mean, I go through the campaign, and it's policy. It's a policy-driven book. It's not a personal attack. It looks at what he says about policies and what the truth is. And, you know, it goes through Social Security taxes we've done. It goes through global warming, energy policy, Afghanistan reconstruction, and all the way up, of course, to the war in Iraq and afterwards. And there's a chapter in the stem cell speech. That speech was August 9th, 2001. The president had a tough decision to make, whether to let federal funding of stem cell research start. And the social conservatives, the anti-abortion crowd, Catholic Church leadership, didn't want this to happen because stem cells, which can become any one of the 200 cells in our body, and that scientists believe using them for research could lead to cures or treatments for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and a lot of other terrible diseases. stem cells are obtained when you take a blastocyst, which is a five-day-old collection of cells after conception. Some people call it an embryo. I'll let them do that. You sort of take them out of the embryo, out of the blastocyst, and it ends up destroying the embryo of the blastocyst. And to, you know, fundamentalists and to Catholic Church leaders, that is the taking of human life, since life begins at conception, even if it was only 5 days earlier. And therefore, stem cell research using stem cells is an abomination. On the campaign trail, Bush came out against stem cells. Anyway, he had this big decision to make because on the other side, you had prominent Republicans, a lot of senators, even who are anti-abortion senators, people like Orrin Hatch. You had Nancy Reagan, whose husband...
Right, hoping that her husband could be saved.
Yeah, you had Andrew Card. You had Tommy Thompson, who was the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Biotech and stem cell research is a big deal out in Wisconsin where he comes from. So you had a lot of heavy-hitting Republicans and all the patient advocacy groups. You know, Michael J. Fox for Parkinson's, Christopher Reeves for spinal injuries. All these folks are out there saying, we got to let this research happen. It can save the lives of millions of Americans. So what is he to do? He's really caught between his social conservative base that believes this is a sin. And
right, we've got just about 10 seconds here before we have to take a break.
Well,
David,
maybe we should finish up on the other side because I need...
Okay.
Okay?
So he's...
In the meantime,
let me just tell people
to go to bushlies.com to read about the book, bushlies.com, and we'll finish up the stem cell stuff on the other side.
Yes. Hang on, David. We've got a four-minute break here, and then we'll pick it up, and we'll have another 5 minutes to the bottom of the hour when I understand you have to leave us. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with David Corn, author of The Lies of George W. Bush. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who will work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, We talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
boogieing? Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with David Korn, author of The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. David, I've got five clips here of George Bush. I know we've only got about 3.5 minutes left here, so let's try and get through these quickly, or at least a couple of them. You wanted to wrap up the stem cell.
Anyway, so what his compromise was to say that we have federal funding of the stem cell lines already created, because that would mean we wouldn't have to destroy any more embryos. And he said there were 60 lines, and with 60 lines we could have a robust, effective research program, so everybody's happy, right? Well, no. Instead of 60 lines, it's closer to 12 to 11 lines, and that with that, there's no way that can support a real research effort. And when scientists came out and pointed that out again and again and again over the course of a year after the speech, the Bush administration kept insisting that there were 60 lines, and 2 years later, very quietly, the National Institutes of Health puts out a registry that says there are 11 lines. So it was a tremendous falsehood, and he totally got out of this terrible bind by saying it and never was held accountable.
Never held accountable. Here's another one. This is.
We must uncover every detail and learn every lesson of September the 11th.
What's the truth here, David?
Well, you're good. You're good with these clips. I'll come back on the show again. You're so good.
Thank you.
That was when Bush was appointing Henry Kissinger to run the independent commission investigating September 11th. I'll leave aside the irony of appointing Kissinger, who kind of represents government secrecy, to a task that's supposed to get behind secrecy and give this full story to the American public. But he said we must uncover every detail, learn every lesson of September 11th. Yet his administration, his White House, refused to turn over intelligence briefings that it got about before 9/11 about Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees that were investigating this for their joint inquiry. So they
he said we must uncover. Maybe he just meant him and Henry Kissinger,
not tell anyone else. And, of course, people might remember the 27 pages that were blocked out at the White House insistence over congressional objection of the Joint Inquiry Report that had to do with the 9/11 hijackers' connections to Saudis. So
his claim that he wants to find out what happened in 9/11 is not only a lie but an egregious one. Here's another one, David, for you. You give your thoughts.
Americans tonight can know that while the threat is ongoing, we are taking every possible step to protect our country from danger.
Now, this is one of the big lies that he's going to be running for as he runs for president. I mean, this is a huge one.
Well, it's a big one because, every possible step, not every step. There, you can go down a whole bunch of things. We still don't have any additional security for chemical plants. The chemical industry doesn't want it, and the White House has sided with them against initiatives in Congress to tighten security at chemical plants. Another good one is cargo inspection of airplanes. When you fly in a passenger flight, your bags get checked, but there's a lot of cargo that comes on the plane, too, and there's no screening of that. There was a bill passed, a Democratic initiative passed in the Republican House in favor of this. It went over to the Senate. The Senate Republicans and the White House, at the urging of the transportation industry, basically put it on the slow track, and nothing happened. So,
yeah, in the meantime, a guy ships himself to Texas as cargo. Remember that, with a crowbar in the box?
So doing everything, that is hardly doing everything. You're not dealing with cargo security. You're working against it. You're doing nothing on chemical plants. You're doing nothing on port very little on port security, giving 10% to the ports of what they've asked for security. If he wants to say we're doing what we can, that's one thing. But he's saying we're doing everything we can, and that's not true.
Yeah, it's another one of the lies of George W. Bush, the title of David Corn's book. David, in the 10 seconds or so we have left, how does he get away with this?
Well, not enough people in the press pay attention, and they should all go look at the website, bushlies.com, find out about the book.
Great. Bushlies.com is the website. The book, The Lies of George W. Bush, our guest, David Corn. David, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Truly appreciate it. Thank you. All righty, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Faced with a possible ouster in today's recall election, California Governor Gray Davis spent the last few days signing new worker-friendly legislation. A landmark bill signed Sunday by Davis will require all California businesses that employ 50 or more workers to provide their employees with health insurance. About 1 million uninsured workers stand to benefit.
Labor and environmental groups first came together in the streets of Seattle in 1999 when they joined forces to oppose meetings of the World Trade Organization. Today, the work of the so-called Blue-Green Alliance continues with its sights set on a new target, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. A group called the Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment recently launched a nationwide bus tour of 24 cities that will culminate in protests in Miami this November against the expansion of the North American Free Trade Agreement. John Goodman is a steel worker who recently addressed a stop at the march to Miami in Spokane, Washington.
What we have witnessed in Mexico and other third world nations is exploitation of workers, their families, and environmental destruction by greed-driven multinational corporations.
Organizers of the caravan expect tens of thousands to fill the streets of Miami when protests against the FTAA kick off on November 19th.
Earlier this year, career employees of the federal government were up in arms over Bush administration plans to outsource some 750,000 jobs to private contractors. After congressional intervention, the White House claimed to have suspended its outsourcing initiative, but a new report from the Office of Management and Budget reveals federal agencies are still making plans to privatize jobs en masse. The OMB reports more than 103,000 federal jobs are currently under review for potential outsourcing, and another 330,000 could fall.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist.
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And we were talking with David Korn, the author of Bush Lies, The Lies of George W. Bush, and The Politics of Deception. David had to go on to another interview on another network, but we still have a few Bush lies here queued up I'd like to play for you if you have thoughts on this. I'm wondering, you know, the question in my mind is, will the Bush administration be able to keep from getting their many lies exposed before November of 2004? You know, a lot of these are relatively, you could call them relatively small lies. You know, saying that they're going to do one thing and doing something else. Style over substance. But then there are some that, well, like this treason gate thing, this treason issue, that have the potential to not just unravel, but to go boing like a spring that's been released and go whapping them in the face. And it's just going to be really interesting. Here's another one of George Bush's whoppers for you.
And I got to know Ken Lay when he was the head of what they call the Governor's Business Council.
Yeah, trying to minimize his relationship with Ken Lay. Turns out that Ken Lay had been good buddies with George W. for years and years and years. Had his own private desk in the White House until the Enron scandal broke. Talk about sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom. I mean, this guy had a little more than that. Ken Lay's private jet was one of the main forms of transportation that George W. used during his 2000 campaign to move from city to city. It just, you know. And Lay and Enron had been, in fact, Enron, historically, was one of the leading, if not the largest contributor, single corporate contributor, to George Bush's campaigns, both as governor of Texas and as president of the United States. And Lay had also been a longtime patron of George Bush's father. He'd worked with George Bush Sr. So, you know, so that one, and here's another one.
Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraqi regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
This one he uttered 2 days before attacking a nation that their Air Force had been eviscerated, the northern no-fly zone, which covered all the northern oil-producing regions, and the southern no-fly zone, which covered all the southern oil-producing regions. Most of the oil in Iraq, by the way, is in the north and in the south. Had been strictly enforced. His Air Force had been destroyed. We had killed well over 100,000, some say over 200,000, of his soldiers in 1991 as they fled back into Iran. On the infamous road of death. And then we had sent UN inspectors. And again, we've had this administration try to say that Iraq kicked them out in 98. Iraq did not kick them out in 98. Another one of the lies of this administration. Bill Clinton withdrew the inspectors in 1998, the night before he started bombing Iraq, because he was pretty sure that there were a couple of spots where there still were weapons of mass destruction, and that the inspectors were suspicious about, and so he bombed them and took them out so that he could say with some confidence after the fact, there's nothing left there. And it turns out that Bill Clinton was right. There was nothing left there after he was done bombing them. But anyhow, Saddam did not kick out the weapons inspectors. We withdrew them. But we sent them back in under UN 1441. We sent them back in, and they checked up the country, and they said, hey, sure looks like there's nothing here. Hans Blix is, you know, well on record on that. And the United Nations resolution said that only the use of force, what they called extreme measures, would only be authorized by a vote of the Security Council based on the inspectors themselves saying that either they had found evidence of weapons of mass destruction or they had been impeded in their attempts to find those weapons in such a way that they suspected they were there, but they couldn't gain access to them. It's right there in the UN resolution. And so when these cons on the right say, oh, no, we were doing what the UN said. We were just fulfilling Resolution 1441. No, the truth is we broke the law. We defied Resolution 1441 because Resolution 1441 said nobody can attack Iraq until the inspectors say that Iraq is not in compliance. And the inspectors never said that. They never said that. In fact, they said the opposite. Blix and Al-Baradei both said Iraq is cooperating. We still have a few spots that we want to check out. It certainly looks like there's nothing here. And they had inspected some 300 and I forget the number, 387 sites or something like that. And the U.S. government saying, well, we know that there's weapons there. We know where they are. And Blix says, fine, tell us and we'll go check them out. Well, we just know where they are. So then we send David Kay in. Oh, yeah, we know where they are. Well, we don't say anything. But you can notice the right wing spin. Now, isn't it amazing that only 23% of people who get their news from public radio, only about a half of people who get their news from newspapers, believe one of the three big lies about Iraq, that Iraq was involved in 9/11, that we actually found weapons of mass destruction. And I don't have the sheet in front of me. I don't remember the third one. But these three big lies, whereas 80% of faux news viewers believe one of those three lies. Mr. Berlusconi, excuse me, Mr. Murdoch and Mr. Ailes, doing a good job there. Doing a good job keeping Americans focused on what they want to keep us focused on, as it were. So what are the other... He says he got to know Ken Lay. Now, what else do we have here? Continue with this.
I'm going to set big goals for America, goals worthy of a great nation, starting with the need for our nation to usher in what I call the responsibility era, an era that will stand in stark contrast to the last couple of decades, which is clearly sin. If it feels good, do it. And if you got a problem, blame it on somebody else.
Which this administration is doing real well right now.
Understand that each of us are responsible for the decisions we make in life.
Yeah. The decision to keep, to allow the White House to have an extra day before they are notified that they have to not destroy documents or emails that might have to do with outing a CIA agent. And now we have this afternoon George Bush saying, well, you know, it's maybe we'll never know. Maybe we will never know. This over the top. And will the Bush administration be able to keep from getting their many lies exposed before November 2004? What are your thoughts? 1-800-TALK-YES if you have some thoughts on this. 825-1-800-825-5937. Again, some of the things we need to just remind ourselves of and some of the things to tell others about. It was in 2001, before 9/11, that Cheney was having his secret energy meetings with Ken Lay and other representatives of the energy industry, about the same time that Ken Lay was out in California, in the same time period in May. May 17th of 2001, Michael Milken and Ken Lay were out in California meeting with Arnold Schwarzenegger about how to undo Cruz Bustamante's lawsuit to force Enron and the other energy thieves to return $9 billion to the state of California that they had ripped off in the name of capitalism and free enterprise. Around that same time, you check the Judicial Watch website, you'll see they were carving up Iraq, deciding which companies were going to get what oil. This is before 9/11. And then you find on the Halliburton website, the contract to do the work in Iraq, similar to work the company performed in both Bosnia and Kosovo, was competitively bid in 2001. Wait a minute. Halliburton is bidding on dealing with oil well fires in Iraq in 2001? This from from Halliburton's website. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. John from St. Louis sent me an email, and I want to get into this. This is something that the cons are sending around this email. This has been going around for a long time, but it seems to be reincarnating. Somebody called about this about 4 or 5 months ago on this program. And somebody else had posted it to our message board, and John sends it to me again. And I just want to put a stake in the heart of this thing. It usually starts out, first of all, you know, it's a bunch of right-wing garbage follows it. But it usually starts out with some sort of a preface saying that that various historical professors in one of its forms, it's attributed to a Roman orator and another to a Greek philosopher talking about the last days of the Greek Empire, which, by the way, did not come about as a result of rot from within. In fact, the Athenian democracy was in the process of being massively, radically revitalized after the revolt of the 400 and the revolt of the 30 that happened, and for which Socrates was asked to drink, you know, asked to commit suicide because he apparently played a role in these things. His students were the ones who overthrew the democracy. Socrates, a skeptic about democracy. But anyhow, it's been attributed to a bunch of different people. In this particular one, it's attributed to a Scottish history professor by the name of Alexander Taylor in 1787. This is absolute fantasy. It reflects, however, the right-wing worldview, the con worldview, and it does a pretty good job of it. And keep in mind that the underlying message here is that democracy can't survive, so we might as well turn it over to the corporations and or the kings and go back to aristocracy or plutocracy. And here's the quote. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover they can vote themselves largesse, generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. And then there's another quote. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been about 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependency back into bondage. Lies. Nonsense. This is BS. This is just not true. Athens fell because Alexander the Great conquered them. They had a vital democracy. To say that a democracy, because it's a little more than 200 years old, is something that we should consider tossing in the trash, is one of the most toxic, one of the most poisonous, one of the most corrosive and cancerous of the right-wing con lies that are out there. And if you get one of these emails, I hope you will send it back to whoever sent it to you, saying, please do not send me these lies anymore. These justifications for the corporate takeover of America, for the return of plutocracy, of aristocracy, of feudalism, reincarnated in the 20th century by Mussolini in the name of fascism to this country, because we would prefer to have, thank you very much, a democratic republic. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in South Carolina has some thoughts on this. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah. I was listening to CNN station on Sirius Sunday. Now, you can look, I know you can look at their archives already, but there was one of the programs that they broadcast. There was a Democrat, a man from the Democrat, and a man from representing the Republicans. And this is the first time I've heard this, because they were talking about the investigation, the need for independent counsel, blah, blah, blah. And here the Republican turns around and says, we don't need one. We've been investigating this since it was first reported in July.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that, because first of all, if they were investigated before, since that time, how come it's only now they're saying, hey, guys, don't destroy any records?
I know. I heard that, and in fact, we were probably driving in the car at the same time. But and I remember thinking, what? But
yeah.
I think that was just some Republican talking through the top of his hat, because I don't think anybody was investigating anything until this made the front page of the New York Times.
It was just blowing wind.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, for him to come out and make that kind of statement, and yet only now, if it were the truth, that's even worse than saying, you know, they just began an investigation now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's right. No matter how the cons spin this thing, you end up with the notion that they're hiding something really big, something that's going to be really harmful to the cons in this country. And
that's
they
right.
are spinning it as hard and as fast as they can. You will be hearing, particularly the most toxic of the spinners on the con side, you know, the Hannitys and the faux news guys. You're going to hear them spinning this thing so hard, and it's just so transparent. It is really tragic. Rather pathetic, and it's destructive to democracy. That's what's so sad about it.
Well, I know you always like to equate them with the fascists, but with the fascists in the past, if I'm not mistaken, there's always just been one leader. But you take a look at how they're structuring themselves. You have a central committee, which is the financiers, big corporations. You might say right now the big honcho with them would be Karl Rove. He's the go-between. George Bush is the chairman, but he is a communist type thing, because he can come and go and they will continue to exist.
Jim, we're out of time here, but I agree with you. Fascism essentially requires a one-party state, because otherwise people will resist it. And that is the avowed goal of the cons out there, is to have a one-party state. They don't just want to beat the Democrats. They want to destroy the Democrats. This is a very dangerous time for this country. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get premium Napa motor oil for just 99 cents a quart and a Napa silver oil filter for just $1.99. This is the good stuff. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is probably the single most important thing you can do for your engine. So come to Napa and get premium Napa motor oil for just 99 cents a quart and a Napa silver oil filter for just $1.99.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's DayQuil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, because we're out of dog food.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Molloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Molloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Molloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Molloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. If you're in California, do not forget, please, to get out and vote today. And vote and vote and vote as often as that electronic machine will allow you. Oh, my. Oh, my. What has been said about traitors in our midst? We know George Herbert Walker Bush said that anybody who outs a CIA agent is a traitor. What did Senator Joe McCarthy have to say about this? He had some very strong opinions on this.
Traitors are not gentlemen, my good friends. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen.
Yeah, they're not gentlemen. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen. And therefore, they deserve no respect. In fact, McCarthy went on to say,
our job as Americans and as Republicans is to dislodge the traitors from every place where they have been sent to do their traitorous work.
And will those traitors be dislodged? Will they be removed? Well, George W. Bush today in the news says, well, probably not. You know, there's a lot of people in our administration. It's kind of difficult to figure out. You know, yeah, senior administration official, but who would that be? I don't know, man. You know, the Justice Department gave us 24 hours before we had to start saving documents, and probably a few things got lost. Anyhow, Joe Wilson's thoughts on this are pretty unambiguous. Joseph, former ambassador. Under George W. Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, his thoughts on this, he says...
But we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to let this drop. At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove Frog March out of the White House in handcuffs.
And it's going to be very interesting to see. There's a tremendous opportunity here for a transformation in America. And Joe Wilson says, he's saying this very carefully.
And trust me, when I use that name, I measure my words.
Yeah, he measures his words. There could be a new day dawning for the United States of America here on day 239 of the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 750 of the search for Osama bin Laden, wanted dead or alive. There could be a new day dawning here in the United States. Hopefully it will be. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta. Louise here in Vermont. Thank you very much to both of you. Shar Jones running the board, engineering our program in Detroit. Thank you so much, Shar. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. Disorder from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. Boy, come on.